Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, have you been driving up and down Oakland Avenue? You've probably seen a bunch of some orange mesh around the old fountain. And the old fountain ain't there no more because they are rebuilding it. And so we have the two people who are responsible for this today with us today. Lori Tuttle, who is the director of the alumni director for Winthrop University, and a guy by the name of James Craig, Mr. Vice President of all the facilities and anything that's broken or being fixed or worked on. It's got his name on it. Welcome to both of you. How you doing?
Thanks, Manning. Good. How are you?
Let's tell everybody about a little bit about Lori, if you will.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Lori Tuttle. I'm the Executive Director for Alumni Relations and Reunion Giving. I've been at Winthrop for 8 years, and I am so excited for the Fountain Restoration Project. It's been a labor of love since 2019 for James and me, and so we're super excited to share more information with y'all today.
Good. James, a little bit about you.
So, good afternoon. My name is James Grigg. I'm the Associate Vice President for Facilities. I've been at Winthrop a little over 2 years now. Came from the Citadel, Augusta University, and Georgia Southern.
From the Citadel?
The Citadel.
Ah, did you have to do any drills while you were down there?
I did not. I was on the staff side. I watched a lot of people drilling, running, and marching with rifles.
And, Lori, you were also down there for a while.
I was. James and I worked together at the Citadel. I was there for 6 years doing fundraising at the Citadel Foundation.
All right, here we are. That fountain. How old is that fountain?
So the original fountain dates from about 1917, 1918. It is actually technically the second fountain that was on that site. The first fountain that was put in by D.B. Johnson was in about 1896, 97. That fountain was moved in the mid-1910, 1912 range to another area of campus, and then that fountain that we recently demolished was installed, like I said, 1918, 1919 time frame. So we got a good 100 years out of it.
Well, how long has it not been operating?
So it has been a challenge, probably is the best way to put it, for about 10 years or so. The bowl leaked considerably. There was more water running out of it than was going into it. clogging of various, of the spout portion. It was just becoming a real challenge to maintain and operate.
And it finally was shut off, what, a year or so ago, years ago?
Just ran pre-COVID, maybe?
2018.
2018.
Yes.
Shut it off.
Shut it off.
So that's when the telephone began to ring? People saying, where's our fountain?
We actually did get some phone calls in the alumni office, and not just from alumni, but from community members who called our office and said, I drive down Oakland Avenue every day, and I don't see that the fountain's working. What's going on? And at that time, we didn't have a plan. And that's what started the thought of, can we restore this fountain? And some conversations were had with James and his team with West Love, and we did not know what to do at that point. And certainly alumni were concerned, especially during homecoming and reunion weekend. That's when I first took notice, because we always do a big fountain cleaning with facilities during homecoming or reunion weekend. And leading up to 2018 homecoming and reunion, I looked out my window from my office and overlooked the fountain. And I thought, oh gosh, there's no water flowing. What's going on? And James said, yeah, it's not going to come back on. Then we started thinking about how can we get this to work? And we knew it had to be a donor-directed project. And that's something I really want people to know, is that this project is 100% donor-funded. Winthrop has not allocated any dollars for this. Thanks to the generosity of alumni, friends, community members, we have been able to embark on the Fountain Restoration Project. And so the conversation really began, I would say, the end of 2019 with the class of 1970. They were preparing for their 50-year reunion, which would have been November 2020. and I oversee the 50-year reunion giving projects, and they did not have an existing fund that they wanted to donate to. So they thought, what can we do on campus? And we thought, ooh, maybe this is an opportunity. So I just said, the fountain's not working. Would y'all have interest in doing a fundraising campaign for that? And they were so excited because they have such fond memories of the fountain. If you go to the Fountain Restoration website, you see all this history that's happened at the fountain, from the daisy chain, from the SGA president getting dunked in the fountain. There are lots of colorful stories about our alumni who have died at the fountain, put bubbles in the fountain. So many ladies have gotten engaged at the fountain. And so when 1970 was excited about this possibility, we thought, all right, let's do this. And it was actually one thing we were able to accomplish during shutdown in the spring of 2020. The study for the Fountain Restoration Project happened at that time. The classes of 1971, 72, 73, and 74 eventually all came on. And they really led the charge on the fundraising for the project, but it's not been exclusive to those classes. We've had a lot of alumni outside of those classes donate, a lot of community members. The Lutz Foundation in Chester gave a very generous gift, so it's really been an opportunity not just for the campus community, but for the Rock Hill and surrounding communities to participate as well.
Now, if I remember right, the project was estimated to be about $500,000 to do
That's
this.
Right.
Is that still a good number in light of the world that we live in today?
So that actually is still a good number. We had the bid opening. The low bidder is Southern Builders of York County. They're the ones who are currently working on it. Their price was about $380,000. You know, Laurie and all the foundation and the alumni and advancement teams have raised, you know, order of magnitude, what, 500K?
We are approaching 500K. I think we have about $488,000 in the door as of today.
Good.
So, obviously, you know, we've got a little extra money there. We're out of the ground, so we don't expect any change orders. And any money that is between what we spend on the construction and what is raised will be put in a maintenance endowment. So for the future, you know, we've got a fund source to, you know, replace the pump and clean the fountain, recoat it, and things like that for the future.
So as I have noticed whisking down Oakland Avenue, of course at the appropriate speed of 35 miles an hour, that fountain's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you just knocked the sucker right down, did you not?
Well, you know, you've got to crack an egg to make an omelet.
Nice, nice.
So, you know, the old fountain had to go to make room for the new fountain.
Right.
So, you know, the old fountain had to come out. The bowl of the old fountain literally fell apart as soon as the backhoe bucket went into it, which was why all the water was leaking out. The main kind of spout section was a little tougher to get out of there because it came out in one unit, but it was pretty much gone in a day.
Yep, and we did document the demolition on the Alumni Association Facebook page. So if anybody wants to go see some live stream of the demolition, it's there along with some photos.
Now, the new fountain itself, let's just talk about the bowl. Is this something we're going to pick up at Home Depot, or are we having this designed elegantly for Winthrop University? How
so
are we doing this?
It is going to match the look of the old fountain, so we maintain that consistency and the heritage and the history. What we have, so the work to date is actually pouring the foundation slab. That's about 12-inch thick concrete mat that will actually form the base of the fountain. The precast, which is the next element, precast concrete, will arrive mid to late August and will be set, and that will form the central spout and the perimeter ring of the fountain. And then the inside will have a plaster coating to seal the precast to the slab section. And at that point, it will, in appearance, look complete as a fountain. But from then, we're actually going to do a little extra. So one of the things we've added in the fountain project is a plaza to go around the perimeter of the fountain.
Okay.
This is a way so alumni, visitors to campus, have a place to stand and be able to look at the fountain and engage the fountain, have events at the fountain. This will tie into the front, to the roadway in front of Tillman. We'll also have a sidewalk going out to Oakland. We're going to shift the flagpole closer to Oakland so you have a better perspective of it from Oakland and from Tillman.
Interesting. So you ship off the design for this fountain to where?
So actually, a local civil engineering landscape architect firm, Keck & Wood, who were actually in the Lowenstein building. They were actually our designers. They designed it once we had enough money raised. We hired them to do the design package. They completed that. We modeled everything on the old fountain. And then, you know, we bid it from there. So between Keck & Wood and Southern Builders, those are our experts in the process. Obviously, there's a keen eye from Laurie and everyone in the Alumni Association. And then every alumni, every visitor, everyone driving down Oakland Avenue at 35 miles an hour, you know, to keep an eye on us and keep us straight.
I can imagine you have got more chiefs overseeing this project than anything else you've done in Winthrop.
It is one of the most visible, I will say that. You know, and we accept everyone's, you know, feedback on everything we do because it shows that everyone cares about the campus.
Let's talk about lighting. Are we doing anything with lighting on this fountain?
So there will be some lights around the fountain. You know, we're kind of just working through that. We put in place, you know, what we need to do. Obviously, we need to light the flagpole. We've had to move the floodlights off the front of, that we're lighting the front of Tillman. So the lighting plan, you know, it will represent somewhat similar to what was there, but we do have some accent lighting in place.
So we took down the old flagpole because the old flagpole was just, had it?
It was in the way.
It was in the way.
It was basically in
how unpatriotic of you.
No, you know, we had to. It was between the flagpole and the roadway in front of Tillman.
Right.
And that's where we wanted to have a plaza to connect the two together.
Gotcha.
Also, the height of the flagpole, it was 60 feet. It really kind of was out of place. So we felt like, okay, we need to replace the flagpole, but we didn't want to just replace it and drop it back where it was. We wanted to find the right location. So moving it between the fountain and Oakland was a better design choice.
So we're going to keep the old pole and just put it in a new place?
No, we're putting a new pole in. New pole in.
60 feet?
No, it's actually going to be 40. Better sightline perspective from Oakland.
Good.
At 35 miles an hour.
Right, 35 miles an hour. And it'll be properly lighted.
And it will be properly lighted.
So we can have it. Okay.
Yes.
Just make sure.
Lessons learned from the Citadel about flag protocol and lighting.
We're glad you learned something, Dan. So this overall project, barring unforeseen circumstances called supply chain, should be done, what, by Thanksgiving?
So, I mean, the flagpole apparently is the long lead item is in the current supply chain. Flagpoles are the supply chain item of the moment in facilities land. That is the long lead. That should be sometime mid-November. Really, fingers crossed, I'm hoping we have the fountain going. We can look at a dedication around the tree lighting. Really, you know, I'm really kind of hedging my bets and crossing my fingers under the table here.
Uh-huh.
But that's what we're shooting for.
So we've had the fundraising part of this. Percentage-wise, you've raised basically $500,000.
Right.
What percentage of that is coming from alumni versus percentage-wise from the community?
Yeah, the majority of it is alumni, right. Yes. Predominantly classes of 1970, 71, 72, and 73, and 74, because that is their project for their 50-year reunions at Winthrop, but we have solicited all alumni for this. It was a focus of our Day of Giving last year. It's been part of our social media plan, and alumni who might not feel as though they have the same memories of the fountain, like our more seasoned alumni, perhaps they did not dye the fountain or throw the SGA president in there. Our younger alumni just want to see a working fountain on the front of campus because of campus beautification. They want their alma mater to look beautiful, especially when they come back. And as we prepared for this whole project, we actually found a few studies that told us that campus beautification is one of the leading factors a prospective student leans into when choosing their college or university. And that, for us, was very compelling to move forward with this because you think we have admissions taking prospective students around campus, and especially our admissions ambassadors who are wonderful students who do campus tours, they walk in front of Tillman Hall. And at this moment in time, you're walking in front of Tillman Hall, and you're seeing construction, you're seeing something happening that's so exciting. Prior to this, you saw a defunct fountain that was full of mold. So how wonderful that they're going to see this beautiful flowing fountain come next year, let's say, to be conservative. And that's going to probably be a compelling factor for them to say, wow, like this college campus has it going on, and we want to be a part of that.
Interesting. Very interesting. All right, so you haven't really hit any snags except the flagpole. It's taking longer to get here than – do you have to tear up the water system, the piping to
– So we did have a little bit of an archaeological experiment to find all of the old utilities that dated back to, the 1917, 1918. So, we knew where some of the items were. We did discover some piping and some valves that were unknown. when we were excavating. But we are tied into, we reconfigured, tied into campus water, tied into campus power. So those are all run in preparation. Drain line, leading out of the fountain, the various lines for recirculating water to the pump, those are all in place and poured with the fountain base.
All right. So we're off and running. And with that, we're going to take our mid-program break and remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, they're all queued up and they're ready to go. We do this thing at Substation 2. It's not fountains, but it's substance fresh salad. The magical way we do it's in the white letters, and at the count of three, we're all going to chime it out together. Are we ready now? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Slice. Garden, 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 garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Alex, the turkey and ham at Substation 2 seem really popular.
Absolutely. They're all natural meats, no nitrates or added ingredients, 98% fat-free, only the best turkey and ham for salads and subs.
Slice, 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 garden, 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 Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, now serving Diet Dr. Pepper.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Emergency care close to home. The team at Piedmont Medical Center has the advanced training to handle your medical emergencies, and we're making it easier for you to access care every day. For non-life-threatening problems, online ER check-in is available at all our emergency room locations, meaning less waiting room time, more peace of mind. Simply visit PiedmontMedicalCenter.com, pick a time you want to be seen, and then wait at home while we hold your place. For life-threatening emergencies, call 911. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Investing can be like a puzzle. There are so many pieces to consider, and it can be hard to know where to start. But with the right guidance, you can put the pieces together to create a winning strategy. That's where Founders Investment Services comes in. Our team of financial advisors can help you navigate the complexities of investing and create a personalized plan that fits your goals and risk tolerance. We'll work with you to identify the pieces of your puzzle and how they fit into your financial future. Call 866-739-7064 or visit foundersfcuinvestments.com to learn more about how we can help you take the first step towards reaching your financial goals. Securities offered through LPL Financial.
Slice, slice, slice! Garden, garden, garden!
It's the only way that Substation 2 makes fresh subs and salads. All their meats, cheeses, and vegetables are sliced fresh right before your eyes. It's no wonder people keep coming back to Substation 2.
Slice, slice, slice! Garden, garden, garden!
Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. James Craig is with us today. He's the Vice President for Facilities over at Winthrop University, which means if there's anything that needs to be fixed, built, repaired, whatever, he's the guy who heads up the operation. And when it comes to alumni, we have the Director of Alumni here with us, Lori Tuttle. Okay, so we've talked all about the fountain. I think we got that pretty much in hand. There are a few other things on your to-do list, James, which grabbed my attention, that I thought I would take this opportunity. Please smile for me.
Do we have enough time in the show?
Well, we're going to try our best to I think everybody knows that these two great big, six-story, eight-story
buildings? So they're eight-story buildings.
Yes, are scheduled to disappear here sometime this year?
Probably. Waffen and Richardson's Holes along Cherry Road, basically at the Camden intersection, two eight-story buildings built late in late 60s. They're traditional style, so dorm rooms on the exterior, bathrooms on the interior. They are currently closed. We are about to start an abatement project, hopefully in the next month or so. Then we will go into a utility disconnect and then demolition. I am really hoping they're on the ground, clean site by next summer. That's the plan. With any demolition, to meet DHEC requirement, you've got to do an abatement project. And so that's got to be the first step in any process.
So the big question is, because most people don't know, why are they coming down? I mean, they look like they're just in fine shape from here.
They may look like they're fine on the outside. We actually do have some problems on the outside. There's some spalling concrete, which is never a good sign to have concrete degradation. On the inside, there are some significant issues with the utilities in the building, specifically the drain lines and sanitary lines that run vertically through the building. All the cast iron is basically severely corroded and collapsing, and we would end up having to repipe the whole building, replace all the HVAC units. We do have some structural issues with some spalling concrete on some of the columns in the building. And bear in mind that there was a collapse of that condo in Florida two years ago? That obviously raises a structural concern for anyone. Given our current enrollment, there was not a real need to keep these buildings online. So Wofford had been offline prior to COVID, was only used for quarantine and isolation. Richardson was used. And then by consolidation, Richardson did not need to be used. So Wofford was planned to be closed and demolished first, but the state provided some funds. So we're going to take care of both of them at the same time and see if we can get a little double bang for the buck.
And you'll have a nice piece of dirt there when it's all done and cleaned up. Any ideas as to what's going to be done with
it? So we have just completed our master plan. The Board of Trustees just adopted the master plan at their last meeting in June. We are about to go to rollout this fall to the community, to faculty, staff, and students. But kind of one of the highlights is that that'll actually provide us two building pads, for want of a better term, for future buildings. What we are looking at is potentially one of those being a new cafeteria building. We're about to start the design phase for that shortly. The other one could be another future building, could be a residence hall, maybe an academic building in future. One of the interesting parts in the master plan that we will look at with those building sites is the current alumni drive intersection, right where alumni hits Cherry, is not the safest intersection in the world. It's a little challenging pulling out either left or right, just based on the bend on the road, the railroad lines, etc. So one of the things we're going to propose is actually shift the intersection of alumni to come in at the Camden Light where the McDonald's is.
Oh, really?
So we think it'll improve safety. It'll actually create a nice campus entrance intersection, a lit intersection to both get in and out of campus. Well, so that's a tidbit for your listeners that is really not well known to the community as yet.
You heard it here first, by golly. I think that's a brilliant idea. From somebody who uses that road regularly, you kind of cross yourself before you jump out there because they come across those railroad tracks pretty quick. All right, so that takes care of the Richardson and Wofford Halls. There's another project that's been stirring around here for, 5 years or so. Something about an auditorium that we used to use here.
Would you be talking about Burns Auditorium by any chance?
Golly, you got it. We're right on top of it, James. Way to go. What is the status with this
thing?
So
Burns Auditorium was closed in August of 2018. We were completing a roof replacement. There was a small fire that had to be extinguished up on the roof. The extinguisher material got all over the place, as did some of the soot and smoke from that fire. There was, how I put it politely, a haggling between insurance companies and various parties involved, including the state, Winthrop, etc., the contractors. That was settled about a year ago. And so we've had to go through kind of completing the design process. We actually have a contractor selected. We are what is going, working through what's called guaranteed maximum pricing to start the construction phase, which is both the cleanup and then the completion of the renovation, which is to add new bathrooms on the lower level, some ADA seating and some other improvements, an elevator to the second floor, new meeting space on the second floor. So I am really hoping we will be starting work in August. I'm crossing my fingers and crossing my toes right now under the table, but that's kind of is our aim, is and then really pushing for maybe an August 24 completion.
Wow. It's what can you say? All right. It's been a big piece of the campus has just not been used for a long time. Not your fault.
And there have been a lot of students who have never seen the inside, who have graduated and have never seen the inside of Burns. And so there is a really push from my side in facilities, and I know from the campus as a whole, to get the work started in Burns so we can get it back and get it back open.
So now, Lori, I don't want to leave you out of all this. You have just moved into your new facility?
We have. Alumni team just moved into the Stewart House, which is the big white historic home on the corner of Eden Terrace and Oakland Avenue. The origins of the Stewart House begin in 1895 when it was built as truly a home, and then was purchased by Winthrop and was then used as the home management house, which is where the ladies, the Winthrop students at the time, learned how to cook and vacuum and sew.
Do they offer those courses today?
We might bring it back. And then it was converted into offices. It's been home to admissions. It was the alumni office in the 1970s, early 80s. It's been used for a variety of offices, and through the donation of a generous alumna, Miss Betty Morgan Holcomb, who was class of 1956, she very much wanted to see a freestanding alumni center on campus. And so thanks to her generosity, we are now in the Morgan Holcomb Alumni Center at the Stewart House. We just moved in mid-June, so we are still unpacking boxes.
Yeah,
it's still a little bit of a mess, but we are going to make it beautiful. And what I'm most excited about is we're working with Winthrop Archives. If y'all are not familiar with Louise Pettis Archives Special Collections, it's on the corner of Terry Road and Charlotte Avenue, and they have all of Winthrop's history, treasures, and traditions. And so we are working with the team at Archives to bring in a lot of memorabilia so Winthrop can have little historical moments inside the home. We'll have some history about the Stewart House and what it has been over the years, and some really fun photos that we have found, and a moment for Betty Holcomb and her generosity, and then, of course, Winthrop throughout the years.
Good. Very quickly, back to you, James. You've taken all the fencing down on Oakland Avenue, but we still got these pillars. Are you going to put fencing back up or what?
So we are not putting fencing back up. We took the old aluminum fencing, or aluminium in English terms, fencing that was along. We've taken some of the steel panels down. We have saved all the steel panels. Next phase is actually to take the columns down. So we have an open parkland look, looking from Oakland Avenue into campus. You can see the lawn, the trees, the buildings, and not be masked by a fence and columns.
And even more quickly, you're putting in a pathway down between
them. So we're going to actually do a pathway that goes from campus down to Stewart Avenue at the railroad tracks, so tying Winthrop into Knowledge Park, and will be one of those connection points all the way to downtown.
Well, there's a lot going on at Winthrop University, and that's perfect timing because we've run out of time, but we're going to get you back for sure. And, of course, Lori, we'll have you come back as well. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice. For conservative investors, you can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, you guys did so well the first time around. We're going to give you an opportunity to do it one more time. Fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week between 10 a. and 9 p. And how do we do it at the count of three? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.